this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? How you doing? Manchester United won. Aston Villa nil. Sir, it was the FA Cup, and it was more like blood sport. Old school football, chippy as shit. Stevie G's men slipping, sir. But what a win. Ugly at times, convincing at times. I think we were like gifting the ball, trying to get him to score. But either way, it was a big win in the FA Cup. We're playing Villa again on the weekend. Dangerous at times. Some things I like, some things I hated, sir. But either way, it's a result. And at the moment, we're just reaching for results. So I'll take it. 1-0. Clean sheet, baby. How are we feeling?
Steven Gerrard slipped on his F and arse. He gave it to Demba Ba.
Steven Gerrard.
So I mean, that's all you see. Stevie G back at OT doing the Stretford and Dirty on the walkout. So you were all spiced up. You're ready to go. I mean, the rivalry runs deep. Steven Gerrard, the Scouse bastard, he is coming back as the man, the new manager of Villa. Got him playing well, sir. You know, it was a tight game. We won. That's all that matters. When it comes to that type of blood rivalry, you win. That's it. That's all that matters. Steven Gerrard came to our house. We slapped him around. We got to go to Villa Park at the weekend. That will be a whole nother mountain to climb, if you will, for Ralf Rangnick. But a win we got to celebrate right now. Could have been a little prettier. But this team, you're starting to see a little something.
You are, because you know what? It was sloppy as shit. We were like tripping all over ourselves. Every chance they gave us the ball, you know, they were sloppy at times of possession, giving the ball to us. We didn't really take advantage of that. Second half, we showed them a clinic on how to give the ball away. Unbelievable at times. Like 20, 30 minutes of it, we couldn't even hold on to the ball. But that being said, I saw a lot of heart on this field. I saw a lot of grit and some fucking old school English tackles. A little bit of blood on both sides. United player caught up, Villa player caught up, yellow cards to boot. Actually, the ref did a decent job letting the game be played on at a highly physical level. And I think Rangnick would be happy with that. Out of control at moments, large swaths of the game, probably half of it.
Sir,
but for moments of it,
out of control.
It was, but there was some physicality to it that I think Rangnick would be encouraged. I think, I don't know. Rashford, bro. I think Alonga's taking his spot, bro.
Sir, I like.
Next man up. That's what they say, next man up.
Look. Given what we have seen during this reign from Ralf Rangnick, they could have come out and looked much worse.
Much worse.
Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about like at home, you saw that Wolves game. We had no fight in us. And this match, coming out hot, getting the goal, fading a little bit in the first half, and then the second half kind of laying off of it. That was the really disappointing part. The opportunities were there. It's just like somebody called the Monstars. We need to get our mojo back. You had Bruno running with numbers. You had Cavani in space, like kind of couldn't get the ball under his foot. When Rashford would pick out a good pass, Cavani's touch would let him down. And we just, in the final third, our ruthlessness wasn't there. I kind of feel like this team just needs a few goals, needs some results like this to build upon, however you can get them. Like Rashford's just dying for a goal. As soon as one goes in, I think he'll be cured. I think he'll be back to normal. I don't think we have broken him completely. This team just needs to find some form, and we're stumbling, rumbling, bumbling at the moment. Who knows if Rangnick is the man to blame, but we are kind of in no man's land until we kind of hit that third gear in that Ferrari, sir, and start ripping. We're far from that, but you can kind of see it. This team just needs to find some form.
No, they do, and they got to play themselves into form, because we saw this counterattack team under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and they, I'll tell you what, they would have scored 3-4 goals today at times. They might have let up some goals, but we had a lot of opportunities to break on them, and not even just when we gave the ball away cheaply. I'm talking about like when we were breaking and looked completely out of sorts, like you mentioned. That being said, we were better than some of the games in the past under this Rangnick era. It's a win, and it was a response from some of the players, I think. I think you could ultimately say, like, McTominay wants to play for this manager. Some other players definitely
start to play for this club.
He wants to play for this club. So does Delo.
Yep, that's
like
a great
playing on with like Curt Schilling, bloody ankle, sir. Shout out. But I think you saw some players that like, hey, tweets aside, social media aside, PR organizations aside, there are players that are still behind this club, even if they didn't get everything right today. Cavani, he ran his socks off. But it's a result. There are some still questions to be asked. Like you said, do we break up Marcus Rashford? Like what happened today with that? That was a tough one.
The not falling not up the Greenwood shot. It's in his head, man. He's still got it. It's just in his head. I mean, it's just he had a great pass into Cavani. He drove forward, gave it right to Cavani, cut through the defense. Cavani's touch let him down. He laid it back to Bruno and tries to outside foot it. You know, like, Rashford wasn't all bad. He is off his game for sure. I just am not like giving up on Marcus Rashford. You know, like he has a pretty solid track record, had surgery, has yet to find that form. I think it's mental. You see him kind of struggling on the bench. So who knows what's going on with Marcus Rashford? Players go through these periods. Sometimes you need to be benched. Like we said, Rooney needed to be benched every once in a while. It happens. He's got to find his form. But to be fair, Cavani isn't on his A game. Ronaldo hasn't been on his A game. Greenwood hasn't been on his A game. A lot of players are off the mark, so I can't just all go in on Marcus Rashford being like he's the problem. We have plenty of attackers who haven't been able to really pop off for this new manager.
No, I mean, there's plenty of blame to be placed on this team. I'm not blaming Marcus Rashford.
If you have frosted tips, though, you know, that adds a little heat to you just because, you know.
But there was like, dude, you know, man, we love Marcus Rashford, but we know what he sometimes screws himself with, which is like hero ball. And there was definitely some hero ball in the first half where he was like playing that joystick, you know, a little bit too hard. But the whole attack is disjointed. Like you said, Bruno is disjointed to a certain regard. So is Rashford. So is Cavani. Ronaldo wasn't available because he had the slight injury. I think we need to score some goals just because.
Exactly.
I think you're right. Like the dam needs to break. This team has it. We could have scored if we were playing well. Haha. If we even like could assemble a counter like we used to 2 years ago, we could have scored 3-4 goals today. But instead, we were all over the place. We had some good opportunities. And all that matters is we got to win. Clean sheet, on to the next one. Playing the same team. It is going to be more difficult. It's at their house. And they're going to be pissed off because we beat the shit out of them today in some ways.
Sir, if you like the American Red Devils and you want to support this podcast, we got a quick PSA for you. Boy, it has been a crazy start to the year, sir. The ups and downs, the rumors in the locker room, everything. But we got you covered here at the American Red Devils. Just me and Alex. There is no one else. We don't have any corporate sponsors, no greedy corporate sponsors telling us what to say. If you want to support independent fan content, check out our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. We give away pin, sticker, scarf, shirts, you name it. There's 4 tiers. You can sign up. It is the number one way to support the podcast. Please check it out. If you're not familiar with Patreon, you can email me and Alex and ask a few questions and how it works and what it's all about. But again, it's 2022. This is how you should be supporting your favorite podcast and independent content creators. Also, check out our website, www.americareddevils.com. Amazing fan-generated blog content. Alex is dropping a new article this week. We also have some great merchandise. Click on store hoodies, beanies, scarves. We got you covered for winter, sir. We don't have much summer merchandise because, you know, the American Red Devils, it's cold in Manchester. Also, sir, tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews are a great way to support the pod. They don't cost any money at all. And we're still giving away free gear. Myself, personally, pick, packing, and shipping. Free Manchester United, a.k.a. American Red Devils gear. All you have to do, write a 5-star review on iTunes. If it has Cheeky Banner.
Even or Spotify. Or Spotify, Google Podcasts. Or wherever you listen.
Wherever you listen. And then send a screenshot of that review to AmericaRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address. And I will personally send you some free gear. Sir, we got a great review in from Cremerito, too. First time listener, and we'll continue to listen to these guys. It's very nice to hear the American take on Man United and how things shake out. Looking forward to listening to a lot more of the shows. Keep it up, boys. Thank you for the review. Thank you,
sir,
for all.
Sir, say that American name one more time.
Cremerdo. Cremerdo, too.
We really appreciate the reviews.
Gonna miss.
Like Alex said, they're free. They go a long way for us getting found organically. That is how we grow. We don't have any big sponsors or anyone advertising this podcast. It's just me and Alex in a bunker room. It's probably 8 by 8 feet attached to his garage with no heating. That is how the magic is made here at the American Red Devils. Let's jump into it. Manchester United 1, Aston Villa 0 at Old Trafford, Sir FA Cup third round. It's a cup competition. It doesn't matter how you win. You just got to get to the next round, sir. We're going to Wembley. Let's get into that lineup. Dave saves. World number one in net. Luke Shaw left back. Lindelsoft for Ron center back combo with Dalot at right back. Fred McTominay midfield. We can't seem to get away from that one. Bruno on the left, Greenwood on the right, and Rashford and Cavani up top in the two with the 4-2-2-2, 4-2-2 from Ralph Rangnick. What'd you make of this lineup?
Hey, you know, every time we talk on the lineup, I feel like I sound like a jackass because I said the same thing before. But, you know, I was excited about this lineup. I thought the Lindelof-Varane combo with the low, you know, featuring in instead of Aaron Wan-Bissaka was good to see. You know, I thought that center back pairing might be one of the better center back pairings we have around. McFred has shown promise under Ralph. And then I liked the Rashford-Cavani, obviously not having, you know, Ronaldo was a little alarming. I got to take a look at that hip tweak. Keep an eye on that hip or spine, they said, but he wasn't available today. And then Fernandez and Greenwood together, but I liked it. Should be good enough to beat a Villa side, sir, as we say on this pod.
What does Jesse Lingard got to do to get playing time at Manchester? Because I like Cavani. I like him. For some reason, as a starter, he hasn't been coming off. I think he's like a 60th minute sub. I'd like to see Greenwood and Rashford up top. And then you're like, okay, obviously I want Sancho playing in the, in, you know, the two tens with Bruno. And if he's not available, you got Jesse Lingard. You could put Alonga in for Cavani. I just like mixing this up a little bit. It is the FA Cup. I just kind of felt like the attack's getting a little stale. We haven't seen a lot out of it, out of Cavani starting, and I'm a big, huge Cavani fan. I think he's the guy. But for some reason, this attack's been off. I would have liked to see that switched up a little bit.
No, I mean, hey, I think he's just trying to see what will work. It doesn't all work, but he's got to try something. And I think at times, Rashford showed his worth. Alonga came on, though. He made an impression in those dying minutes.
Looks like he should start, sir. Let's get into the match. First half, game opens. Manchester United playing finally with a little gumption at home. You love to see it. 6 minute, Fred wins the ball back. Well, open game to start. And, you know, we'll be talking about these two, this midfield. A lot of people giving a lot of sticks, sir. They would connect here for the first goal at Old Trafford, 8th minute. McSauce with the header. The assist from Fred. What a way to open the FA Cup third round match at home, sir. I'll tell you, nobody wrote a note to the Stretford end that these boys are in a bad mood because it was rocking an amazing atmosphere for Manchester United on Monday night. That's why this team is so special. That's why this club is so special. I think Stevie G up the game of the Stretford in a little bit today.
And you know what? Villa came to our home earlier this year. It feels like it was yesterday. And they won 1-0. And that was a chippy match as well. This is even before Stevie G got the job. That I think got their last manager fired before he won at Old Trafford. But this game, I think they like we had a little bit of retribution. And then they kind of started getting sick of getting pushed around. And the game kind of just like popped off.
11th minute, Villa with a decent chance from a corner, but Lindelof does well to clear. 13th minute, Villa getting into the game. Another good chance after Buendia shrugs off Fred. So Fred, you know, doing brilliant in the 8th minute. It was there. It was a crazy game. A lot of fighting here. This was being like a tug of war, sir. Like it was a little too close. Villa playing a lot of piss and vinegar. I'm sure Stevie G got him up for it. Dave saves. Another great save from De Gea after Fred gives the ball away. This is the first one. 27th minute, another great save from De Gea. I know McTominay would get man of the match, but De Gea had some critical saves. He's looking rock solid for Manchester United here.
No, thankfully, David De Gea is back to his best. Hey, and for a keeper, we signed up to a big, big deal. We're hoping that he would turn good again. He certainly has. He's shown his worth. He's still got it, and he's got a lot of years left for a keeper. So plenty to build on, sir. He was back to his fine form today, other than like some of his spot kicks, which weren't great. You know, kicked a few outside, but he made some great saves.
No, but this was exciting. It was an exciting game as a fan, right? But you'd like to see United not bending so hard against Villa at home. 28th minute, Cavani great shot on the break. I thought this was going to be a goal. Keeper did well to save. 30th minute, Lindelof. This is a bad giveaway. Ollie Watkins hits the bar. Bailed out. Absolutely bailed out. Lindelof, horrific mistake. De Gea beaten off the bar. So that's the difference. This goes in. Yikes.
This was a ridiculous game from a neutral perspective. No one in this room is neutral, and I was shouting everything. You know, so you know me. I'm the biggest Muppet, biggest super fan of this club ever. This was a great first half. If you're just watching football, it was just like bing, left, right, back and forth. And the only thing that was missing was a little bit of like clinicality and sharpness from United side, because we had some chances, and we were just, I mean, the second half was even worse, but we were tripping all over ourselves.
Sir, 38th minute. If you didn't know, clinicality, new word, you heard it here first on the American Devils. 38th minute, shot takes a ref from 35 yards out. Forces Martinez into a good save. 41st minute, nice defending from DeLow. He gets the bloody ankle. I thought he was going to be out, but he shows some tape it up. Sir, we played football in North Jersey, the American kind, and you tape it up. You stay on the field, sir. That's the way it's done. And I like to see DeLow a little grit here. Old Trafford, let's go.
Dude, but this is like good to see, because the game was ebb and flow. We started out hot, got the goal, then we get like kind of complacent, gave it away. Villa had their chances. Then we really gave it away. Lindelof just gives them a goal, hits the bar, and then we kind of wake up. And it was more, it was good from United. It was just like, it shouldn't take that for United to kind of get it together. Wake up, sir. You tweet that a lot.
Sir, 44th minute, McTominay with a nice hit after United finds the right stuff for the last 10 minutes of the half. And 48th, United with two decent chances, wasted by Rashford and McTominay. Again, so that last bit of, finishing, we just don't have. We're missing our mojo. That's what we need. Going in halftime, what are your thoughts?
You know what? I know there's certain things where we looked out of control, and that's a big thing that Ralph has talked a lot about in his pressers and as part of his philosophy. But there are things that we hadn't seen in the other games that we saw today, which I was encouraged by. I think there was, I don't want to say gumption again, but there, like, the players, at least a majority of them, seemed to give an F, and that was encouraging, because there's been a lot of questions asked in the last couple of weeks for good reasons.
Well, when there's a lot of rumors and there's not a lot of talking, like, players came out, like McGuire, oh, everything's fine. Yeah, it's just, you need to see it on the pitch. That's what the beautiful thing about sports is. This team showed up and they didn't lay down, right? If they were really as bad as what those rags are writing,
we got blown out today.
We would have gotten blown off the park, and we didn't, right? And you saw some fight, you saw some grit, and that's what it's about. So we could all see it, and I'm glad they put in a shift. We saw players put in a shift, and hopefully that number will increase as players start to believe and buy in to Ralf Rangnick. Second half, United, sloppy as it gets, opens a little more cagey with Villa seeing more of the ball. Like you said, it was a clinic and us giving it away. 51st minute, goal Villa. Soft goal, Villa foul. It was offside, so it was overturned, sir. Was this the big VAR chance?
This was.
Wasn't offside. It was a Cavani foul.
It's Cavani foul, but they were also looking at for offsides. It could have been called off for either.
No, it was called off for the Cavani block. Right? So again, Stevie G, he's a cheater.
Yeah.
He's got his team cheating.
They are dirty. They're dirty. No, they're always a dirty team, though.
Cavani's marking him, but the real issue from a Manchester United perspective, which is like, and I was livid when this goal goes in. First of all, like, okay, the block in Cavani, that's great. We get lucky with the VAR call.
No, we
because
do.
Realistically, the header back in front of net, you have Lindelof watching. Ollie Watkins gets a touch and Ings gets a touch before, I think it was Lindelof and McTominay or Shaw are just sitting there. Nobody is defending anyone as the ball's coming across the net. They're just banking on De Gea to do it. If you watch the replay, Ollie Watkins gets a free shot at it, and then Ings gets the header, and United players are just like watching, just like Rashford was watching that, the rebound. It needs to be submerged. Smell the danger. You got to be able to sniff a danger. You're playing the EPL. You want to win a title, sir. You got to be on that.
I mean, everything that was encouraging about the first half kind of went out the window early in the second half, sir, because it was like, all right, that was bad. You got a wake-up call. It wasn't like, you know,
we didn't wake up.
It wasn't like we snapped into it. We just, like, it took us another 30 minutes to figure our shit out.
And we didn't wake up. It's almost like this goal went in. The players were playing, like, head down, back to, back to the locker room drama. 59th minute, Villa score again, but they were offsides. I mean, it felt like it was coming. So the fact that we ultimately didn't let it in, it was great. 65th minute, Fred with a nice yellow card after Lindelof gives it away. United is being wasteful with the ball to the point where it's inviting so much pressure. 67th minute, Dave saves. 71st, United basically trying to get Villa to score, giving the ball away again. Ollie Watkins goes just right, sir. Just missed the target. And then 72nd minute, finally, we were dying for a sub, you know. Again, this is Ole sub time here. Van de Beek on for Cavani. Didn't change. I like Donny getting some minutes here.
I do, but this is kind of like where we're excited about Ralph. He just come in. You can't be critical. We've excused. The late sub, this is like, maybe Ralph's made for the front office, or he's like the DOF, because, like, dude, you saw that, like, Rashford should have been pulled, like, the 60th minute, and, like, changes should have been made early, because we were, like, we had no grip on that second half, and it kind of, you know, it slipped. That would be a criticism for Ralph Rangnick in this. It's, like, took way too long to make subs.
Yeah, he changed the formation. 74th, Green with a good chance, but he shoots right at the keeper. Rashford has to be there for the tap-in. I mean, this one, like,
that was bad.
Greenwood should have pulled it back, first of all. That's what the play should have been. So they're both on the break. Greenwood should have found Rashford. Greenwood didn't, but in this type of team, the only excuse I can't make any excuse for Marcus Rashford. It is bad. I rewatched it a few times, and I'm like, it can't be that bad. And I watch it, I'm like, oh my God, that is horrific. From Marcus is that he has to be thinking like he's so bummed Greenwood didn't pull the ball back that he forgot to keep playing. Like, that's the only thing. Like, I like was like, what is he like? Cause like the keeper spilled the ball and like spilled it again.
Yeah.
Like it was like, and it's like, you should have gone for it, dude. It's like, right. It's like, you gotta play to, sorry, you gotta play to win the game.
So there's a lot of habits that need to be played, coached, or taught out of this team. You saw a lot of it in this game.
This is anti-Rashford.
No, it is. Because
this is not who he is.
We know he's got it. We know he wants to play for the badge. We know he's a hard worker. And it might be that, sir. I think he was like, here's my goal. Here's my tap-in.
Yeah,
and then he's just probably... That's probably very reasonable and probably exactly what happened.
But that shows you, like, what...
It's a maturity thing, too.
The issue with this team is because Cavani's on the bench thinking... I would have been there.
Ronaldo.
A real poacher, a real striker is following up on that all day long. As soon as they don't get the tap in, they're trying to get, if the keeper spills it, they get an easy goal. That's why Cavani sub, he might have been there. You know, Cavani comes on late for Rashford. This is the type of thing. He's a poacher, right? Those are the type of things Cavani can do. 85th minute, double sub, Bruno and Rashford for Alonga and Lingard, and things heated up after this. I thought Alonga showed a lot of energy. Like, this sub should have come in earlier, right? Alonga to get... What does it take for him to get 5 minutes? And he looks like a player. Looks like he wants to be out there. This is what this team is missing. This is what we need at Old Trafford. We need to get these fired up young players in the match, because at the end of the day, the basics are what is going to improve this team, improve the energy, sir, and ultimately improve the results.
And you know what? Right now we're looking for a spark. Everyone's kind of out of sorts. Throw in who's next up? The Academy. We produce top talent. We have for over a century, sir. So throw in a long guy. He's a player. He's looking to make an impact. He's on the bench for a reason. He's next in the depth chart for a reason, because he's impressed the manager. And he impressed me today. He came on and he looked dangerous. And maybe that's because it was a gas Villa. But he's got speed. He's bigger than he looks. And I think he's due a start after the way he came on. And looked very, very dangerous.
92nd minute, along with some good runs and passes in the dying moments. Like I said, he should have come on for Rashford. That was it. We won 1-0, sir. You can't complain. Manchester United on to the next round of the FA Cup. And that's important. Cup competitions for this team are important. We're not playing well. We survived, and we can find some form and then maybe make a late run. Sir, we're glass half full, please. Let's go.
We got a decent draw. The draw's already been had for the fourth round. We're getting Middlesbrough, so...
Middlesbrough.
Could be way worse. We could have got, you know, could have gotten City. So, hey, something to play for. It's cup competition, and it's a result. It's a clean sheet, and we showed... Dude, it was a physical game. This is the most physical United game I've seen in a while.
And that's good, because they're up for it. But that's what it should be, you know? You come to Old Trafford, it should be physical. Match stats, 7 shots for United, 4 for Villa. 5 shots on target for United, 2 for Villa. That's better. Was sloppy. Slop shop FC. Possession, 43% of the ball for United versus Villa. That's not better. Regardless, the only thing that matters is the scoreline. We won 1-0, and Match reaction, sir. Manchester United have won their last 15 FA Cups in which they led at halftime, a run stretching back to March 2013. You can find some positive stats if you chop them up that much, you know.
Dude, there were moments of this game that were very promising and exciting, and there were moments that were like, this is as bad as usual.
Sir, what's got away with one.
Was it? Of course.
You got away with it, bro. So you got to, you know.
Sir, result. We'll take the result. What's the manager going to say?
Sir.
You don't look that happy.
It wasn't a game late in May in 1999.
Yeah, it wasn't that,
bro. No, they scored. All right, let's check in with the manager, Ralf Rangnick.
Just wondering what your thoughts are on the game. There were good moments from your side, but I guess at other times they lack the control that you've spoken about in the past, wouldn't it?
Yes, I mean, we knew from the beginning that it will be a challenging game for us against a very flexible Villa side with their rotations that they're doing during the game all the time between their fullbacks and their eights. I think we saw quite a few pros today. I think we were better, we had a better structure, and we also had good energy in the team. We moved the ball in the first half, especially. We moved the ball good within our team. Had quite a few good diagonal balls. And that was exactly what we intended to do against their rather central team of Villa. And that's what was exactly the way how we created our first goal. But as you said, quite rightly, we were still struggling in the center of the pitch. And that's why the Villa also had their moments where they could have scored.
Sandstone?
Hi, Ralf. Could you just talk us through Marcus Rashford at the moment? He looks a bit frustrated. He looks a bit lacking in form. What's the matter with him at the moment?
Actually, I don't know. I think he's trying hard. He was in training. He was doing well in the last couple of days. That's why he quite rightly was in the starting 11. I think in the first half we found him quite often, but and in the first half he also tried to get into the box. In the second half, that was not that often the case, and that's why at the end of the game I decided to make two changes with Anthony Elanga and with Jesse Lingard.
Tim Thornton.
Ralf, do you feel as though there is a lack of confidence in some players in the side? And if so, how important is that win tonight going into the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, there is no substitute for wins. And therefore, it was very important to progress into the next round. And yes, I mean, especially for strikers, it's important that they score goals on and off, that they have their moments of success. And of course, it would be good for example, for Marcus if he could score a goal. But as long as he's trying, as long as he's training well, I don't see that much of a problem.
Laurie Whitwell.
All right, sir. I think that's enough of the press conference. What do you make of Ralf Rangnick?
No, I think he's calling it like he sees it. You know, still frustrated by some things that I'm sure all Manchester United fans are frustrated about. I certainly am. But there are encouraging signs that I think a lot of us saw today as well. So shit is going to take a while. I think he knows, he sees it. And I thought his deflective answer about Marcus Rashford was very well taken. He like didn't, he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, Simon's dumb. Pfft, see ya. So I did, he's protecting the players.
No drama from him.
No, he's good, dude. But he calls it straight. He also doesn't sugarcoat it to the same extent that Ole did, which I can't blame Ole for doing it. I'm not calling Ole out. But he's straight, and he also like, he knows how to protect the players. So I liked what he saw today. So, dude, something to build on. It's a win. On to the next one, baby. Same team. Let's go, Villa.
But if you read the press and you hear how much United are in crisis, you almost need somebody like as pragmatic as Rangnick at the helm, because he's just like, I don't know, bro. They're paying me to do this for 6 months. Like, this is what it is. You know, because like when you have Ole and he's like sugarcoating, just like you can only put so much sugar on shit where he just loses it. You know, it's like it's just when Ole tries to sell you this. And that facade kind of falls away and you kind of lose it, where Rangnick's just like, look, we're getting a little better. You know, this is the way it is. It's just like, it's what we need right now. And then we need Ten Hag, sir. And we need Van der Sar to replace Richard Arnold, et cetera. We need the American Red Devils to take over Manchester United. So we just need a couple million more Patreon subscribers. Then all of Manchester United's problems will be solved. Speaking of the fourth round proper, sir, will be played between early February, between the 4th and 7th of February. You got some nice matchups in there, sir. Huddersfield Town versus Barnsley. That's one I'm very excited about. Going to be tuned into that. Queen's Park Raisins versus Peterborough United, sir. You got Everton Brentford. That's actually a good game. Chelsea get an easy one with Plymouth Argyle.
Nottingham Forest against Leicester City. You're going to see Garner get a play again after he had a very good match against Arsenal. Ha ha ha. Dropping out. Love to see that.
Wolves versus Norwich. And then you got Shitty versus Fulham. So interesting fixtures here. I like the FA Cup because of the history, sir. If you've studied the history of football or you listen to the history podcast, the founding of the FA and this competition really got everything started in the modern game. Obviously, the shine has kind of fallen off the FA Cup in recent years as the Premier League has ascended worldwide. But the FA Cup, something about just the old English football, so the old English tournament, the original trophy, it's what it's all about, sir. And United, I want us to have the title of winning the most FA Cups, which is Arsenal at the moment. So we could always use another. And we're up there.
Dude, we need some wins. Thirsty for what? Hungry for how? Yeah, we're thirsty for signings, hungry for trophies, something like that. And we can use the FA Cup, sir. It's been too long. It's a great cup competition, like you said. The oldest cup competition in the world, the first. And I think the prestige is coming back, bro. This ain't no Carabao Cup. This is like, it's hard to win the Premier League. It's hard to win the Champions League. And you know what? It's pretty hard to win the FA Cup as well. So something to go for. Not all is lost. And we got a good draw.
Sir, Alan Pardew dancing on the touchline, baby. Just showing off those moves. That's what it's all about. Next match, we're playing Aston Villa again. Sir, we're going to be playing away at Villa Park. Games won 101, games drawn 40, games lost 50. First time we ever played Aston Villa was 1892, sir. Back in the day, Newton Heath versus Villa. We won 2-0 in the first division. Before we get into this game, because it is in the league, let's just check in with the table, sir, as well. After Christmas, we got the table here. Hasn't improved much. We are 7th on 31 points. Tottenham are in 6th with 33. West Ham with 34. Arsenal, who bounced out of the FA Cup, 35. Now, you have, see, that's where it goes, where if Arsenal picks it back up in the league, nothing's lost here. But hopefully this leads to the Arsenal slide.
The classic Arsenal slide.
The David Moyes choke, the Tottenham bottle, the Brendan Rodgers meltdown. Like, that's the way it usually goes here.
The full bunch, sir, but then you can have the Brighton up-and-comers. Wolves. Look, Rowdy Wolves.
I'm not going to say we're not going to make top four. I'm going to say we're a game in hand. We're 1 point off of it. And the teams that we have to beat are Tottenham, West Ham, and Arsenal. And if you can't do that,
you don't deserve it.
With this roster, on these wages, and this manager, if you can't do it, then you know what? We're in for a long ride under Richard Arnold and the Glazers. Because it's a great mystery how this team can perform, sir. So we're going to have to see. It starts as a big game. We just pipped them. Arguably, 2 goals ruled off, sir. Off the bar as well. By the hair on our chinny chin chin, sir. We were in that straw house just holding on like a little piggy. It's going to be in their house. The good news for Manchester United, we play better away, you know. Like I said, it's at Villa Road. Our last 5 versus Villa, 1-3, lost 1, drawn 1. And their form coming into this game, they beat Leicester. They lost to Liverpool by 1. They beat Norwich 2-0. They lost to Chelsea 3-1. Brentford beat them 2-1. And then Manchester United obviously beat them 1-0. So form is okay. But Stevie G's definitely got that Stevie G bounce. You know, he's wearing like the Stevie G outfit on the sidelines. He looks like he's going to be a good manager, sir. It looks like he's going to be in charge of you-know-who one day.
I think that's how they're positioning it. You know, that's kind of the master plan as it relates to, I imagine, how the Scousers want the next, you know, decade or two to run out. They know Klopp's going to run out of town eventually. His teeth are going to get too big for the league, sir. But this is going to be a testy match, sir. They're a very well run club. They made good acquisitions, sir. They've got a good squad, you have to say. They've got good buys in that. Buendia, I think, was a good one. Obviously, Traore. I mean, they just brought players off the bench. A lot of Piss and Vinegar, David Luiz, McGinn. So, and they've got a good front office. So they buy well. They're run pretty well. They're just like, this speaks to the overall competitiveness of the Premier League. They have a good squad. You know, whether or not the last manager lost confidence and Stevie G's got the magic touch, we'll see, sir. I think they're just having the bounce that we didn't get.
No, I mean, like, they have billionaire owners, right? So they have Nassif Sawiris and Wes Edens. They're owned by NSWE Group, right? So they got a lot of money behind them. It's a project. Gerard came in. Gerard did very well at Rangers. So, you know, he has the CV, right? Ex-player. So he commands that respect. And then he has the CV, you know, winning leagues, comes in, and they got a lot of talent. Like you said, like hard work. Like McGinn is just like a like the classic old English, you know, Charlie Adams light. You know, it's like these are the types of players that are just gritty. They're going to run all game. They're going to be annoying. They're going to try to steal points away from big teams like Manchester United. Sir, you got Matt Eatcash, best name in football. Sir, I love that. Can you get a better like his name is Matty. Like you didn't name him. It's not Matt Cash. Matt Eatcash. Is there a better name than that? Or I just like that name too much.
I'm going to think about it, and I'll let you know. Not right now. I mean, it's a great name. You're really on it. They're a good team, sir. So they have a good combo of like hard-nosed old English and some really good technical talent from abroad, right? Like they sprinkle in a McGinn with a Buendia. That's a good combo, right? It's a best of both breeds. Why they're a dangerous team, bro. They're a dangerous team. Danny Ings could have scored a couple of
them. And that keeper, Martinez, dude. It's like...
Full shithousery. He's like one of my favorites.
But it's like, this could be a tough... So we want to talk about the measuring stick. We got away with one Old Trafford. We didn't lie down. And that's huge because at home, that's big, right? You got the crowd behind you. Now away, we have played a little better away. Generally, right? We're talking like the last 2 years, but this will be one where Villa are going to say, hey, we should have beaten them. They're going to come out pretty hot because of Gerard hates United, and it's going to be at home. We're going to be facing their home support. So there's going to be more headwinds for United, and how can we fare against it? So if we can come out with some piss and vinegar and make it a fight, that's all we're asking for as fans. That's a good sign for this club going in the right direction. Right? This is a good one.
I think he's learning more and more about his side, that is, Ralph, about who the players he trusts, who the players maybe he's not so sure about. And like you said, this is a big one, dude, because it just happened. And this was a particularly chippy match in 2022 in English football. Like most matches have gotten pretty soft in England. This was, as physical as I've seen in a decade. And I think they're going to be like ready with a point to prove. Like we beat these fools at their home. We should have beat them in the FA Cup. Let's beat them in front of the Villa Road crowd, sir, which are going to be lively. It's a big stadium.
It's going to be a good test for United. Injury room, part of the physioroom.com. The injury report here, sir. Harry Maguire has got a chest abdominal injury. He could be back for this game. It's going to be a late fitness test. He's 50-50. Martial knee injury, plus just trying to book that flight out of Manchester. Paul Pogba, where in the world is Paul Pogba, sir? Taking those wages, enjoying his life, and trying to find another club. Maybe we're going to talk about him, but like apparently...
Solutions, not the problems. What was the... That should be the response forever. If we want to talk about Paul Pogba, I'm looking at solutions, baby, not problems.
The fact that...
That was ridiculous, by the way. That we don't talk about, like, he wrote, like, see ya, United.
The generation of player, like, Martial and Paul Pogba, that, like, get paid, like, way too much money, and then they just don't like Manchester United, who is then paying them these inflated wages, which they're underperforming. They're like, oh, Manchester United is the problem, who's paying me all this money. I need to go somewhere else. Oh, no one will pay me anything. it's hilarious. Paul Pogba will be like, I am Paul Pogba. I'm the best. And then he has basically the freedom to go to any club and get paid any amount of money he wants, and nobody will pay him.
And
then he's just like, okay, well, then I'll stay at Manchester United. So what, are you just going to mope for another 3 years? It just doesn't make any sense. That's why you got to be playing for your opportunities, sir. I can go all day about those players, sir. Give me your lineup.
Sir, also McTominay and Shaw out with yellows. So... Another wrinkle in the mix. De Gea net. Who else is going to be? DeLo. Beast mode. Bloody ankle. Love to see it. It's going to be Maguire, Varane, Telles, Fred, Donny van de Beek, Bruno, Greenwood, along with Ronaldo. Who you got, sir?
So I got Dave Saves, world number one in it. I got DeLow. We're going to say same back line. Lindelof, Varane, Shaw. Mixsauce can't play. I know. So you got to play Modric. Then you're going to say Bruno. I'm going to put Alonga up top. I'm going to say Greenwood. And then Eddie Cavani, sir.
Shaw can't play. So I'm going to imagine you said Telus.
Telus, yes. That is correct.
Sounds good, sir.
Shaw did play well, though.
He played great. He's a bruiser.
So those suspensions are going to mess us up because I would argue that today Shaw and McTominay were some of our best players.
The goal scorer and Shaw, I thought Shaw and DeLow played very well. For sure, dude. These are going to be big absentees. And these are players that I think have like are Ralph players.
When you talk about the fullbacks, I think DeLow's flipped.
I think you're right.
Wan-Bissaka. I don't think Telus has flipped Shaw, though.
No, he hasn't.
So that's kind of where you're starting to see the DeLow-Shaw combo I like. And that is probably the one to start. But obviously, Telus will get a knock because of the yellow card suspensions. Booking the bookies, United favorites here, plus 110 tight. Villa to win plus 230, the draw plus 260. So the bookies are calling it pretty tight for Manchester United. So given those are the odds, what is your score prediction for this match?
Sir, 1-0. Could go either way, though. But I'm going to say Bruno Fernandes, penalty merchant, sir. They let him call it out. Ronaldo misses the game with a hip injury. You know, they kept him out today. So 1-0, do it again. They'll be pissing about it, too. What do you got?
I'm going to say 2-1 Aston Villa. The eye test does not deceive me. Villa's going to come. They're going to score. We could probably get one. I don't know if we can get two. Although the upside would be like 2-2, 1-1, but I think Villa's going to get us just because they look to be a good side. They look to be up for it. I hope I'm wrong, but I just am trying to. So I'm trying to be a little more objective here with these score predictions instead of just like 7-1 United, Rashford, Hattie. He's back, baby. Let's go. Like, that's part of it, too. But, you know.
I need one of those.
United in the news. Edison Cavani pledges to stay with Manchester United for the entire season. Let's go. Cavani's back. You're a man. We famously signed him. You hated him. Now you love him. Eddie Cavani, what do you think about this?
I mean, as it relates to the remainder of the season, this is all around him leaving in January. There's some reports looking into Barcelona. We definitely need him for the remainder of the season. We'll see after that. But right now, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's a great player. He's a great mentor for some of these younger players. His heart's in the right place. You know he's not an ego. You know he's not a bad guy. Of course we need him around, bro. This is most def. Duh. Yes.
All right, sir. Next bit of news here. Manchester United's Axel Tuanzebe left Aston Villa due to Steven Gerrard arrival. Think about this one. Tuanzebe on loan at Villa. He helped bring them into the Premier League. And basically, Steven Gerrard coming in, the old rivalry of United Liverpool comes to life. They are not welcome at Aston Villa, you know, so it contributed to him going to Napoli. Why not bring Tuanzebe back? We're starting Phil Jones, Murtagh/Arnold/Glazers. He's a great center back. We literally had to play Phil Jones. What are we doing?
No, I don't get that at all. Like, I don't even get this a little bit. Baye is going to Africa Cup of Nations. He could get an injury. Almost certainly will get an injury. Right? Like, I would bet.
Sir,
more
I looked
than,
at my crystal ball.
It's like more than 50% chance he will get an injury while on tour Africa Cup of Nations. I hope he doesn't. I'm rooting for him, but that would be a pretty good move. Maguire's out of form. Lindelof that was bad today. And Varane is also injury prone, sir. So, like, this is not a bad move. This guy did pip Neymar and Mbappe, sir. He was great
that game.
He is. He's young.
He's a great player. Like, United should be buying out Jones's contract and putting Tuanzebe in the squad. It makes no sense that we literally have a player taking up that spot who's getting paid. Obviously, he had a great performance. Look, I don't dislike Phil Jones. I just like better management from the front office of Manchester United. You have a great center back here. You can bring him back. This is the type of move that you need to make. You need to eat the Phil Jones contract. You need to invest in the future of this club. Get Tuanzebe some minutes. I don't understand this one. obviously, like, a big fuck you to Steven Gerrard. I don't like you either, bro. And guess what? You never you never won the league. So you're like, I mean, come on. Nobody has sympathy for you. Even if you try to go back and win as a manager, you'll bottle it. You'll slip. You'll give it to Demba Ba. We know the story. So Stevie G, you can stick it, you know?
Yeah, dude. And he showed it. Dude, he's not like his last game against United, that stomp on
he's
Herrera,
petty,
bro.
He's but a, this is what's
he's a little
about,
man. He never
dude.
Won the league, bro. Like, trust me, that bothers him. It bothers him in a real way that, like,
no,
he never
know,
won the league and he gets talked about like one of the greatest players of all time. It's a
but
fucking
this
laugh.
Is what it used to be. Kill or be killed.
No, I miss it.
Manchester United, Manchester United, Liverpool, like the game you went to. You know, I've been to that one, but I didn't watch us lose. I watched us win. And sorry, it was kill or be killed. That, like, it was intense stuff. The physical, it was everything the rivalry was. He grew up in that. And there is, if there's a United player on loan, you are not getting playing time because I'm doing everything in my power to hurt that club because that is the way it is. And I love that about it. I have to respect it. Fergie did it. This is type of stuff from Fergie that you realize with like loan deals, he wouldn't help any other team. He wouldn't do nothing, sir. It's like somebody did something to him. He'd take players back. Like Roy Keane talked about, it's like, this is the game. This is the football game. And when Gerrard's at Villa, Manchester United players ain't welcome.
And you know what? We ain't sending no more players to Villa. So lesson learned, but you're absolutely right, sir. The thing you said at the beginning of this story was like, he should be taking fucking Phil Jones' spot, but Phil Jones is still there because he got a new contract 19 because Ed Woodward is the worst football.
Apparently,
CEO.
Ed Woodward's friends with him. That was sort of the rumor.
Ed Woodward's friends with everybody except for us.
All right, so we got a lot of articles here. What do you want to tell me about? You put something about Dean Henderson. What am I worried about Dean Henderson?
He's out, bro. He wasn't even in the squad because he's pushing for a move. He might be another player, sir, that you can add to the list that's bringing up dirty laundry. Hopefully he's not. Story. That is the story. Is that like he wasn't featured in the squad today because he's angling for a move. So it's just.
Yeah, but here's all these players angling for moves, but no one will pay to get them out of the club. So they're
just telling you the news.
I'm gonna, you know, Dean Henderson, look, he didn't win the spot. De Gea is world number one. There's a reason for it. And he should never. Again, front office move. Bringing him back too early. He had one good season with Sheffield United, or was it? He had one okay season, then an amazing season for Sheffield. You got to give him another. They brought him back way too early. Did he get the best out of Gea? Maybe. I don't know. I just think you have to have a clear number one at Manchester United. You don't need a goalkeeper battle. We kind of had one. I don't think it did good for him or De Gea, and I think ultimately it's hurting Dean Henderson now, who if you were a smart front office, he could have another lights-out season for Sheffield United. Then De Gea gets back into form, and you sell him for a big clip, like $70 million, and instead you bottle it because he's sitting on the bench. You're not going to make no money. So, again, this is United just stumbling over itself, not knowing how to manage these loans. The loans, Ahmad going out on loan, what are you doing? Like, these, we don't know how to get.
It's because they can't move Lingard. It's because there's all these players in front of them that they literally can't move.
You literally have to be like, Chong has to get a chance at United or you sell him, right? Twanzebe's coming back to United or you sell him, but it seems like Twanzebe's just in no man's land when he could be a great center back for Manchester United, but we'll never figure it out because there's just like, you get stuck in this loan carousel and then you never come back for United. Like, and then when you do come back, like Dino, you never get a shot. It's just, it's, sir, fumbling, rumbling, stumbling from the front office.
So they lucked into this, but you know what? It didn't all turn out bad because we have vintage De Gea back, and I think part of that was because Hendo was at least talked about as someone that could take his spot. So, like, the only good thing, and it might have been just accidental, is that, like, we do have Vin, like, he looks like the best keeper in the fucking world again, dude. He
don't
looks
jinx
like
it.
I know. But that's something. And we need a good keeper.
No, it's De Gea, prime De Gea. It's a great watch. It's a De Gea. You feel
I love
invincible.
Watching it. Oh, I know.
And De Gea is invincible. All right, sir. We got another from the mirror. We're going down.
You don't have to include it. I put these pieces in, and then you just decide what you think we should talk about.
So basically, like, this is the whole everyone's unhappy. So, like, the things that I will say, like, when Alex puts together the news, the ones you missed are the Maguire saying that everything's all right. And then
we need more of that.
Slating them.
We need more of that. Put that on you. That's what you want to talk about. It's just like Maguire being just like a big old.
Maguire being like, yeah, everything's okay. Like, so let's just talk. Okay, so this is the article about 17 players unhappy, 11 players unhappy. And I love this is English journalism. It's just going like, how many players can we say are unhappy? Yeah, I know. And then like Reinick's like, I watched an interview on YouTube. I was watching a lot of clips about Matt Busby. the Sir Matt interviews. Phenomenal. You know, you're feeling like you got some free time. Go on YouTube. Sir Matt Busby gives some great interviews, talks about, you know, Munich and coming back, 1968, everything in between. And even as he was getting older, Sir Alex was young at Old Trafford early days, and it was that year when he was going to get rumored to be fired, and he had to win the FA Cup, and he went to Matt, and he's like, Matt, the press are really digging into me. You know, it's really tough. Da, da, da. And Matt just said, why are you reading that? And I don't think Rangnick's the guy that reads this.
No.
And I don't think Rangnick's the guy that cares about this.
No.
And so that's kind of the takeaway, which is like, you think the boss of Manchester United is worried about what number is here or what this and that. So let everyone freak out. Rangnick's the interim for the end of the season. Richard Arnold, the new man, you could call him, he's not the GM. Like you try to like put it into like American sports terms. You got the director of football. It was really like kind of like the GM. But at Manchester United, it's really sort of the
there's no comp.
The CEO is the GM because he works with the board to then green light all the approval. So I actually think that our director of football is sort of a numpty or a patsy, if you will, where Ed Woodward would really do the business. Him and the board would decide it, and then they would kind of like green light it, which is why we haven't had a director of football. So let's see how Arnold puts it all together. He could fix it all and be this great guy, but to think that he was Woodward's right-hand man forever and did everything Woodward did makes me think he's not that type of guy, because he'd be kind of screwing over Woodward to kind of sort of change it up. I think we're just going to see more of the same. The expectation would be to see more of the same from him, and this is just going to continue this whole sort of mess.
Sorry, Glazer's out, bro. Nothing's changing because what's the difference? You're talking about the worst football chairman in the history of the sport, arguably. Like, who like would oversee a worse demise in the last 10 years than Ed Woodward? All the mistakes he's made, hundreds of mistakes daily. Sir, he's
another person.
But it's the Glazers, sir. They've overseen it. They've said it's fine. You know, they never really pulled the plug. They didn't say 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Time to pull this plug on Ed Woodward. Let's put in someone who knows what they're doing. Let's put in someone with a CV. They just found another Ed Woodward, like a fatter Ed Woodward that will be the new Ed Woodward. And they'll just pretend and they'll spin their hands around and be like, we're going to redo the stadium, a 10-year plan, all this stuff, sir. We're going to meet with the fans. It's, you know, man, it's all bullshit. They took the dividend. I think this week, they took it like
no
clockwork, bro. They just nothing's gonna change until they leave, and like hopefully they can figure out the Ralph appointment, get him up to the front office, have him make football decisions, and then bring in someone who knows how to do this low and slow, because it's gonna take a while, because we've got a jughead judge still in charge, and you've got Glazers with the pocketbook, sir. So it should take low and, it's gonna take low and slow, so we just gotta be ready for that.
No, yeah. Now, the only thing I was trying to say is like, okay, you got players unhappy. You got players who want to leave. You got an interim manager. That probably doesn't help the situation because players aren't getting clarity on what's going on, right? So clearly, it's not like the best time in the locker room at Manchester United. You got older players. You got younger players. You got a lot of people on loan. All this like giant mess, right? And like in American sports, you compare it to like the NFL or MLB, the GM is like in charge of all the contracts and like how you're going to deal with the salary cap and like what you're going to do with this. Like, so you have this bloated wages, you got old players, like how are you going to manage, like Phil Jones, what are we going to do? And you need someone who is an expert to clean up this shit show that is Manchester United. But instead you got Murtaugh, who has no experience to do so. And then you got a new guy in Arnold, which, yeah, he might be the prodigal son, but we're going to assume he is not. And he's just going to do what Ed Woodward did. So the point I'm trying to say is, Rangnick ain't cleaning up the mess right now. Murtaugh ain't cleaning up the mess. And then Arnold, he's inheriting this mess from Woodward, who, you know, he's his boy. So he's probably got rose tinted glasses a little bit. So the idea you got all these happy players is like, you got to make moves. Like, United's got to get rid of Lingard. You got to do business. Obviously, Lingard's going to go on a free. But like, if the first thing Arnold does is Rhea Pogba for half a mil.
Oh my God.
This is what I'm trying to say is like the direction they should be saying is we are getting rid of all these big wage deals. We're going back to like the lows. Like these are the type of players we want. Players are going to play hard, young.
Might take a while.
Like exactly. You got to make a transition. You got to get rid of these unhappy players, sir. But right now the infrastructure at Manchester United doesn't believe you that that cure is coming, and they're punting it to this new manager who then will inherit this shit show that's being made worse. and then maybe they'll figure it out. So I'm just saying keep kicking the can, and there's no fix in sight. And the only thing I could bank on would be sort of like a Ten Hag coming in and getting like a lot of power and being able to move everyone on. Like, it seemed like LVG was just like out in, and then we stopped doing that. But we need to get a manager in over the long term, give him 4 or 5 years, and have him be like, you, like, players practice in front of you and you're like, you're out. And you ship them for nothing. Like, we need to be really clearing it out and really like building for a new vision that is Manchester United into the future. And I just don't see that reset point coming with the way this club is set up.
No, of course not, because it will continue to suffer as long as the Glazers are making decisions ultimately based on money, and that's their only incentive, sir. So like you said, there are a lot of decisions that have to be made between now and then. This January transfer window, nothing's being done. That's not too shocking, because January is tough to do business. But this summer will be telling in terms of how we want to change our approach, if there's any change to approach being had. Because like, if the first thing Richard Arnold does is give Pogba, even keeps Pogba. Like, there's no reason to keep Paul Pogba. It's like, let him leave. Like, if he gives him the money sufficient to keep him at the club, which is rumored to be £500,000 a week, sir, that would be like, that would set the tone that like, it's more the same and it's just clown show.
Have to be like,
which is basically like, the comp is, sir, there's no positive comp you can make in American sports. There's a very simple comp that exists in multiple American sports, and that's basically like, someone started a sports team and then they had like offspring that are just like dumb, and then they're in charge. Like James Dolan, owner of the Rangers and the Knicks, dude. He is like an absolute idiot, has like a band that he spends all his time on, and just like, his dad was smart, he inherited it, he runs it like it's his like own boys club, spends more time on his band, and the franchise has suffered. So we're in the same kind of thing. It's like, until the Glazers start to take it seriously, we're not going to be a serious football club, bro.
I don't think they're going to take... First of all, I don't think they're going to take it seriously, but pivoting away from the, you know, terrible ownership and everything and the unhappiness, sir, it was like the reports come out and then play. Then like the worst part about this dressing room is it's so predictable. Like the rumors, everyone's unhappy, da 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 da. Then Fred posts something like, hey, I don't talk a lot, but I'm all in and I love this club. Look, good on Fred. But then you had the other players talking to social media, and they're like, Fred says something. So if he says something, then I got to say something. Then McGuire says something, then Rashford. It's like, no, just play the game. Just win the game. Show us on the pitch. That's all we want to see. The social media, like, I feel like this defensive, them responding to these rag newspapers.
Exactly.
You ain't winning titles with that mentality. You're not winning anything when you're worried about what you say on Instagram when the mirror of God. You said, what did Sir Alex say? I don't read them. I don't put any stake in what they say. That's the only response. You say it after the match. We're great. We're focused on getting better under this new manager. What reports? I've never read nothing.
Yeah, that was Rangnick's answer around Rashford. Perfect answer. That's how the boss... And the boss is the boss on the wall, sir. He would answer. It's like a non-answer. Don't
take the bait.
Like, Simon Stone, you're supposed to be a favored journal, and you're asking a gotcha question. It's like, next question.
But the player's taking the bait and reading the stuff.
Well, they're managing the PR, bro. Worse. They're managing the social when it's like, just play football. Just do what McTominay, Delo did today. Delo, bro, that's a great... Like, you don't have to tweet anything. Just play bruised up, bloodied, and keep playing, sir. Play like you want to be there. Like, it means more than just a paycheck.
The other bit of news, sir, that you know I would have included was Trippier went to Newcastle for $12 million.
What a joke.
So apparently we couldn't get that deal done. But $12 million, he's going to Newcastle. I mean, one of these things, like Woodward said, oh, they wanted $30 million. And it's like, no, they didn't. You just wouldn't pay like $18 or whatever. It's just like,
right.
We could use Trippier. Obviously, Delo's come into form. That's good. But like, is he really the guy? It's like, no, Trippier's the guy for us to actually make a run at the title, be a serious team. And oh, by the way, we needed a CDM. And oh, by the way, you can sign one in January. But oh, by the way, Richard Arnold is too busy celebrating the successes of Ed Woodward's career to figure out that we need a central midfielder at this club. I mean, Jesus Christ, like the amount that we could buy a central midfielder for nothing, and that could be a serious impact to this team, and we're not doing it. And by the way, that would earn the Glazers $100 million. But I'm sure they don't know. I'm sure they don't know, sir.
So they don't even pay attention until they drop out of top four. And they're like, oh, we gotta take this really seriously. Like, they'll notice when we finish sixth, and then they'll, I don't know, we'll see. Who knows?
Hey,
Enjoy the ride, sir.
Hell of a tangent, but this is the state of the club, and you can't talk about unhappy players without talking about the ownership and the chain on the way down and how we get out of this hellhole. But right now, it just seems like there's going to be a lot of whinging in the star and the mirror and a lot of apologies on social media. That's like the world we're living in. It's like, Jesus Christ. We ain't winning nothing with that, sir. We ain't winning nothing with that. Let's jump into the fan questions here. At JDW300, quote, still very disappointed. I feel like a connection is missing somewhere, either midfield or up front. McTominay has been on his best level lately, and we have needed it. Elanga and Van de Beek both looked very hungry coming on. Back four played well, minus Lindelof's error. Round two, Saturday, fight. I will caveat the back four, sir, with that VAR callback. That would look bad.
No, and we gave the ball away a lot. I think, like, Deleau played really well. Shaw played well. I think Lindelof started well and then faded fast. He had a bunch of bad errors. But then everybody seemed to just start giving it away. So I think it was disjointed. That's a great way to call it, because it didn't seem like we were quite clicking on all cylinders yet.
At Mike United Mets, he's usually glass half full here. Quote, we are in a weird transition phase where Rangnick has an idea of how he wants to play, but the personnel aren't trained to do it. I feel like the team is consistently looking for Bruno in the middle of the park, but the 4-2-2 leaves that space empty. Did today feel like a step forward?
I mean, it did, because I saw something that I haven't seen in these games, which is, like, there was a fight that has been absent for a long time, even beyond Rangnick's reign, that was promising. It wasn't 90 minutes. It wasn't even 50 minutes, but it was something, and it was better than what it's been for the last couple of weeks. So, dude, we're grasping at straws, but I'll take it as a fan.
So sloppy, but a little more grit from the United players.
Which matters, because this team has been like, sir, I can't even say what I want to say, but like they lack that fire, that grit. I keep saying grit, but like,
sir, we have a podcast, so you can say what you want to say.
So they like that. they didn't have like what you need to have in order to win titles. I'm not gonna say it.
The cojones?
Yes, sir.
Cojones.
They got none of that. They've been playing with like none of that, and then today they played like they had some of it for some part of the game. So that was better, because I enjoyed
soft,
greatly, you know, large parts of this game, because it showed, dude, we didn't look soft for moments, which is a change, because we've looked soft for a long time.
For the portion of players who are on the pitch, I agree that is the case, but is the overall locker room and these articles bubbling, the whole softness of like Martial, you know, like players like that, you know, who are one out and, you know, are just me, like it kind of takes over when you have too many, you know, it's hard to find that gritty group. But I'm credit to Rangnick, because he's going to sort it out. People are going to want to wear that shirt and play in front of those fans, because the Stretford end was amazing. Today. Next tweet, at Jamal Mota, sirs, was it pretty? No. Do we have issues? Yes. But we beat a slippery Stevie and move on, while the great Arteta lost to Forest this week. We must get better. But for today, happy with the W. Hashtag Glazers out. I agree.
It's amazing.
We survive. It's cup competition. That's what it's all about.
It's amazing. It's like, it's all about like what club you at. Like, you want to know what's a bigger club? It's like how they frame in this win versus a loss. They lose to Forest. Nobody talks about it. We barely win, or we win even ugly, or however you want to frame this victory. And I'm sure people are still like slighting United, sir. Biggest club in the world. Hated, adored, never ignored. We got to go up, sir. We got to do better.
Last tweet here. At you, Boson. Good win. Decent performance. But what in the world happened to Sir Marcus? Not only is his decision-making and touch awful, he also looks super unhappy, sir.
Sir, I think he likes winning and scoring goals and playing well. I think like when he's playing well, he's feeling good and just feeling full of confidence. And right now he just looks like, even when he was doing, you know, joystick stuff in the first 15 minutes, that wasn't coming off. You know, he just like he needs a goal and needs a couple goals. And I think that will kind of unlock it. And I think this team, I saw the same in Bruno, bro. He looked like something was a little off too. So I just think we need to score some goals. And I think that will let like some of the pressure come off the shoulders, because I feel like everyone's real tense that like it's going to get worse before it gets better.
For Marcus, I think, you know, he comes off the, first of all, you have to think of it, comes off the Euros, right? He missed the pen. Sir, final in England for England. He was injured, shouldn't have been there. Then goes there, then doesn't feature, then he gets a penalty
without warming up.
Italy misses it. You know, then he's partying with Sancho. Then he doesn't tell the club what's going on with his back. So like the whole Rashford saga is kind of like, if you really go back to the summer, there was kind of like some un-Rashford like behavior. You know, like I always think of him as like the top of the top. So he's been a class act on and off the pitch, been able to hold it all together. And it's almost like I have no idea how he's been able to, right? And you have to think at a certain point with like Maguire and Shaw and Rashford, like COVID, the COVID schedule, and then the Euros, and then the high of playing the final and then losing it in tragic fashion with no time off coming back to United. Obviously, he had the surgery. So that takes a lot out of you, that roller coaster. And I could see that those players, it's still affecting them because they haven't had a break. Now, Rashford coming back from back surgery, you think he'd rest. I thought we would see the best Marcus ever. And maybe that didn't help him, sir. I don't know. Something's off about him generally. It could be off the pitch. He's been running at 1,000 miles an hour for years. It makes sense he would have a dip. And I trust Marcus to sort it out. I know he's a sir, he's a top individual. He's a pro. He'll figure it out. I have confidence that he's going to be a great player for United for a long time.
Sir, he lost two finals in 6 weeks, both in penalties. Like, because of decision, arguably because of decisions by both coaches. Like, both coaches bottled those games. So, like, that's going to ding your confidence, bro. Like, the same way that, like, Chelsea, you could see there was a lift in that team and those players because they had won the Champions League. Like, we missed out on that. And then he got gut punched again, him, Shaw, and Maguire all losing the way they did in the England match. So it's like, that has got to be fucking hard. Then you come in, your manager gets sacked. It's like, he's dealing with a lot. You got to kind of be like, we believe in you. We're long con. Give him time. He's got to come good. But like, think about all those things in context. It kind of makes sense. Like, two finals, bro, 6 weeks.
And Ole could have been his guy, right? They're both horrible. Him and Ole could have been really close.
Probably were.
He could take in that rough. I think it's mental for Rashford, right?
Totally.
So, I totally agree. I just think it's one of those things where, like, you know, we got to just give Rashford time. I think he should just be bench, rest, et cetera. But you've heard him. He's playing good in training. So that makes you think Rangnick is going to be like, this kid's got it. And then on the pitch, it might be a little much. He's just scrambled eggs up top. And he's got, sorry, scores a goal. He'll probably be back to normal, sir. That is the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are four fans by fans, sir. The banter. We're here to the Glazers sell this goddamn club. That will be a great day. We cannot wait. You want to support us? Check us out on Patreon, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Check out our blog, our website, www.AmericaRedDevils.com. Click on store, get some merchandise, sir. Drop a review. Wherever you listen to the pod, it goes a long way to help us get found. Like I said, we're a small-time operation in Alex's garage.
Can't you tell?
Shout out to the wife for letting us hang out in the garage, sir.
Sir, yeah. Shout out to the wife for not just
she wanted to
hang
make
out
a yoga
in the
studio. You know, so you took it over as a pod room.
She wanted to make it some kind of studio, sir. But hang out, not just hang out, but take this room over. Shout out to the wives. Shout out to all the wives listening in. All the wives allowing their husbands to watch or
shout and wake up their children early in the morning, sir. You know, that's what it's all about. Sir, give us our last top 10 cities, last 7 days. I need some serious mispronunciations.
Get ready. Gear up, sir. I am not on top form, just like this team. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Corinth, Mississippi, Arlington, Virginia, Owings, Maryland. Who is next? Omaha, Nebraska, Ontario, California, Moyock, North Carolina, Houston, Texas, Bowie, Maryland, Los Angeles, California, and last but not least, Soledad.
No, you got to go with that, Scott. You got to try again.
No, get out of here, bro.
Soledad. You try again.
Sir, you pronounce it, bro.
You pronounce that.
Soledad, Mexico, bro.
There you like, go. Let's go.
There you go, bro. Let's go.
Pottstown.
Appreciate Mexico. Appreciate the United States. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out, sir. Keep these guys. Keep, tell Ford. You want to keep talking for another hour, bro.
Number 14.
Chula Vista, California. No. Telford, UK. Oslo.
No, number 14.
He's just Ireland. Literally pulling like meatballs off the list. Drogheda, Ireland, bro. Well, let me find you a good one. Here we go. This guy. So appreciate all the American Red Devils listening.
Sorry,
week
it used
week
to
out.
Be we used to split the list, and yeah, then
you don't split the list no more.
Because
who changed that rule?
Sir, you have too much fun. Look, you win another game. You have a great pod. Everyone in the English press says the sky's falling. It ain't, sir. We're Manchester United. We got something in the tank, dude. Don't write us off just yet. We're going to leave you here. The great song, sir. It was sung today at Old Trafford. It's only fitting we're playing the Scouse Bastard and Villa again at the weekend, sir. Let's go. Cannot wait. Everyone, have a good one.